SBS Radio.
What was the selection process like to decorate Melbourne's trams?
Look, it's a pretty competitive process. There's only 7 trams that are done each year for the Melbourne International Arts Festival. There's one for a community group and one for an emerging artist coming through, and then 5 for, you know, the large number of professional artists wanting to make statements and share stories on those trams. So it's putting designs together, creating concepts, something related to, of course, where we are in, you know, Naam, Melbourne, on the land of the Kulin Nations. So it's got to have a connection in many different ways. And you're, like most art commissions, you know, putting your hat in the ring and hoping for the best.
Well, you came out on top, which is great. Can you describe your artwork that's featured on the tram?
Yes, so my design runs in conjunction with my art practice around reshaping or rethinking, reimagining the built environment to greater reflect the long history of Indigenous communities and peoples and our knowledges and philosophies and how integral they are and how our, you know, 60,000 plus year history is ever present for us, but often in the built environment and in places, it's not apparent. But we know it's there, and there's a lot of histories that aren't known, a lot of histories unseen or untold. And so it's to bring to the fore that no matter wherever we are, no matter what place people are on, what country you're on, you're always on country somewhere, and there's stories linked to that, and many stories which we need to bring forward around our culture and history and communities and our ongoing stories, that our culture is alive and vibrant, continuing. And so my design looks at a very ugly apartment building on Chapel Street in St Kilda, on the land of the Yalakwilam people of the Bunwarang, and to reshape that building to reflect, you know, designs and the shapes and rhythms that we have. And of course, they always include native birds. So in this instance, there's a couple of magpies who again link to our creation stories and go back for, you know, just tens of thousands of years, and those stories are still alive today. And just reshaping that building to reflect our shapes and designs of shields and on our belongings, and just the way our processes and thought systems are very different to Western ones, and how we need to get a bit better balance between Indigenous philosophies and ways of thinking and non-Indigenous philosophies and ways and thinkings to, you know, secure our future, to secure our sustainability, which is under great threat at the moment.
Absolutely. It seems like the artwork is like a way to kind of bring that balance a little bit back, or like to reset the scales a little bit.
Yeah, look, great way to put it. Resetting the scales, rebalancing, reshaping ways of thinking, and reshaping ways of thinking and addressing concerns we have, or just the way we exist in the world, of course, with the environment and our kind of connectivity to all things and how important that interconnectivity is. We aren't separate from country, you know, we are part of that, and that's part of us. So can't separate that waterways or the land, the sky, plants and animals from our well-being generally across the board for everybody. All things are interconnected and we are way out of balance. So the symmetry in the work tries to express, yes, we need to bring not only philosophies back into balance, but that'll lead to a better balance between people and the natural world.
Yeah, and that's something that, like, we all need.
Absolutely, and that's right. And the way things are going, you can see how unhealthy the planet's becoming and how unhealthy people are becoming. And First Nations people are right at the forefront of this. Because I believe, you know, we're impacted more directly, especially for people living directly on country where these impacts are severe. And for my people, for Barkindji people in northwestern New South Wales, well, the lifeblood of our well-being and culture, the Barker, the Darling River, you know, is in great distress. And so this is only one example where things are well out of balance, and it's really impacting on, yeah, not only the health of Indigenous communities, but of the entire country.
Definitely. Is this the first time an artwork by an Indigenous Australian has been featured on a tram like this?
No, look, it's been a nice tradition of having mob on the tram. So last year you had that extraordinary tram by Hayley Miller-Baker, and the year previous to that, or a couple of years previous, we had that wonderful Rico Rennie tram. This year you also have Vandal, who is a Wiradjuri woman with the tram out and about. So two of the seven trams this year are carrying First Nations stories. I call it culture in motion, you know?
Yeah.
Taking our stories and culture in motion around Melbourne and expressing these beautiful statements. I mean, the Vandal tram that she's done is just stunning. Came right past my office yesterday.
That's a great way to put it, culture in motion, and something that people like can chance upon in their everyday.
Yes, absolutely. And this is one of the great things. My artworks, you know, more generally, whilst there are commissions in buildings, they're generally in art galleries and places that you have to go to. So with the art trams, it's like culture on the move, and people are interacting with that on every second of the day. It's moving through the suburbs, moving through town. People are seeing it, getting on, you know, riding along with it, hopefully thinking and then being engaged with the stories and what's happening. You're having time to think, and it's also, you know, taking people from, you know, different destinations. So it's a nice idea. It's culture on the move, there's culture in motion, and then when you're on that tram, you're part of that movement and part of that story, and it's part of you and you're part of it. So absolutely, I think it's a great way to connect with our culture and our stories.
Yeah, and like it might provoke travellers on the tram to maybe to ask some questions or to think of some questions that they hadn't thought of otherwise.
Look, absolutely. I think as most art coming from Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander artists and communities, it is around raising, I guess, questions and provoking people to think around our experiences and our stories, which are still, you know, there's so many stories still to come to the fore. We're seeing a great period, I believe, of through the arts and through many areas, whether it's writing or on film and TV, music and the visual arts. You're just seeing so many of our stories and histories and being shared and a lot of times for the first time being uncovered. And so we're in a constant process of trying to engage the broader community with our history, stories and presence, and again to just reset that balance, get the scales a bit more even around the understanding of who we are and our connection to this place and our ongoing culture.
What do you think is driving this renaissance, I guess you could call it, or a new energy?
It's all the hard yards and all the hard work that our ancestors have done and that our elders keep doing about the importance of bringing to the fore our stories. And so as generations go on, I just think it's not an avalanche yet, but it's a wave of constant expressions and sharing and I guess more ability, more outlets. There's more, you know, social media and platforms to be telling and sharing our stories. I think also it's a build-up of so many generations of persistence and perseverance, and us being, I guess, the generation here now benefiting from all of the incredible hard work and commitment of our ancestors to make sure that we are constantly raising issues around our culture and our stories and the importance of sharing those stories and expressing them and engaging the broader community with who we are and how we exist and you know, how we coexist and the shared stories that we have. So if we can all get on the same page,
yeah,
you know, I think we'd find that, you know, this country moves ahead in a major way. And I think all of the efforts for people to keep bringing forth these stories is part of the process, which hopefully one day we'll achieve that, you know, magic word that has become very, seems to be so far in the distance around real reconciliation, around real understanding of the history of this country and who we are.
Absolutely. And art plays such an important part in expressing stories and in real reconciliation.
Yes, absolutely. And this is one of our key communicators for us, you know. I mean, our art engages the world. And Indigenous Australian art is some of the most revered and popular work around the globe. So I've just come back from America recently where I exhibited a series of my works. And the engagement that people globally have with our art and culture and our stories is really significant. And so it is a really strong medium to keep sharing those stories, and it's so engaging, as you know. I mean, it's, you know, it's the best art there is.
Tell us what you think. Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter.